This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. As usual, with me in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. How are you doing this morning,
Good,
Naz?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm great. It's a thrill and an honor to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour in studio with us this morning, the entertainer himself, Eddie Shack. Good morning, Eddie.
Morning. clear the track.
Here comes Shack.
I used to knock him down and give him a whack.
You gave him a lot of whacks,
whack,
Eddie.
Whack.
Anyways, there's a special reason we have Eddie in studio this morning. There's a new book out. I think it's a fantastic book, and we're also pleased to welcome in studio this morning the publisher of the book, the president of Frameworth Publishing, Inc. The book is Eddie Shack, Hockey's Most Entertaining Stories by Ken Reed and published by Brian Aaronworth. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
It's great to have you guys in, but it's also a big day. And just to let our listeners, give our listeners a little roadmap of the show, it's a big day in Toronto sporting history. TFC's going after the MLS Cup tonight for the third time, this afternoon, sorry, at 3 o'clock, for the third time in 4 years. And we'll come back to Brian and Eddie. We're going to come back to you shortly. But it's an opportunity at this point in time to talk to Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Carmine Marcantonio. Carmine, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Walter and Naz and all your guests. It's great to be in your show again and talk Toronto FC in the final, as you said, for the third time in 4 years. Quite an achievement for our city.
Carmine, this must bring back memories for you, and I want to go down memory lane. You were a big soccer player in the Toronto area in the, I guess, 60s, 70s, and 80s. You and I actually played for the same club, not the same team. I certainly didn't have your skill set, unfortunately. But 1976 was also a big day in Toronto sporting history when you played for Metros Croatia and you won the NASL title. Your memories of that particular day and that particular game?
Oh, that's a long, long time ago, Walter, as you say.
Well, you got to remember, this is Zoomer Radio, Carmine.
Yes, right. And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that probably watched us during that time. It was a great time for Toronto football lovers, soccer lovers, because maybe for the first time in the longest time, the Leafs had won. I think the last time the Leafs won was 1966, right?
67.
67, okay, because I came to this great country of ours, Canada, from Italy in 1968. So I never had seen a championship team win anything in Toronto. When I came in 68 as a 15-year-old, my passion was soccer, so I started playing for the team that you mentioned, Toronto Italia, and from then I went on to, as a rookie, to play for Toronto Metros Croatia and the North American Soccer League that Pelé made famous. And then in our team, we had the great Eusebio. And we just had an amazing run. And, as a rookie, myself and Bobby Arushi, that is a Toronto native, we were just mesmerized to be in the final, to play with our captain, the great Eusebio, and just the one in Seattle, 3-0, beat Minnesota and brought home a championship to Toronto for the first time. And so I hope now, I told Bill Manning, the president of TFC, a few years ago, 1976, he celebrated that team for, he hosted us in, he was a great host to celebrate 4 years from the victory in 2016. And I said to Bill, Bill, this will be a great omen for Toronto FC, because we know Toronto FC hadn't done much until that time. And sure enough, in 2017, they went to the final. And I'm sorry, 2016, they went to the final and they lost it to Seattle. Then they won it again, as we know, in 2017. So hopefully this will be their second championship that they bring home.
Carmen, Toronto FC hasn't lost a game in 3 months. It's similar to what your team was like. You peaked at the right time. Do you think the FC are going to win today?
Well, Naz, you know, winning, it's a habit. Like losing becomes a habit. So I hope they keep the habit up for the last time for this year. Anyhow, I think they're in a good streak, as you mentioned, and it happened to us, Metros Croatia, when in 1976. We went in a winning streak towards the end of the season, and then and I never looked back in the playoffs and won it all the way. We were the underdog, big time. And I think even this time around, TFC pretty well, it's imaging that team, that first team that I played in 1976. So hopefully they'll keep it up. I think they have a good chance. I would say 50-50. But because I believe in karma, I believe in good things happening, because we have an amazing team with a great leader in Bill Manning and Greg Vanney, the coach, I believe the boys will take it home. I really feel very positive about the game.
Talking to Kahneman and Marc Antonio, Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, and we're talking about TFC in the MLS Cup Final this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Carmina, assess the game, analyze the game for us. What does TFC have to do to win this game?
Well, TFC will play like they did. I think the lineup is pretty well going to be the same, Walter, as they have played in the three playoff games against DC at home, and then underdogs away in New York and also in Atlanta. They'll pretty well have the same team starting and will try to defend. Would let the Seattle Sounders attack them and then try to hit on the counterattack like they did in Atlanta and in New York. And I think they're very capable. We have, the great leader, Michael Bradley. I hope that if we win, I believe Michael will stay on and he should stay, should be signed back by TFC. I hope this could be his last game. My understanding is Michael Bradley, who's playing, by the way, is playing his 200 game. This is a 200 game with TFC colors. And he's been the great leader and on the field, and he will show it again in this final. And they'll gather midfield and Osorio, who are big parts, because this was the same midfield that won in 2017 against the same Seattle Sounders. So that's basically what I believe, that TFC will have pretty well the same lineup with Ponzuelo playing a false number nine. More, he will roam the midfield and try to attack the flanks, and hopefully we're gonna hit them on the counter. And there'll be 70,000 people there in Seattle today this afternoon. So it will be a hard, hard-fought game. But at the end, I believe that we're going to be able to score a couple of goals because I know Seattle is very capable to score up front. They got formidable players in the attacking threesome, Lodeiro and Rui Diaz and Morrison, the American boy that is doing quite well. But I think we're going to pull it off, Walter.
Carmen, do you know if Altidore is dressing today?
I got the suspicion that he's going to be fit enough to be on the bench. I don't know, because probably they're going to keep that secret until the end. But my suspicion, Naz, is that he's going to be dressed. He's going to be on the bench. And if needed, I think they're going to try him out for those 20 minutes to try to win the game. He's definitely a potent forward, but hopefully he's close to being 100%. Because he's missed about at least about 3 weeks, if not a month now, since that injury. So it's always difficult to come back from an injury. And I think it's the quad. And with the quad, as you know, I'm not sure if it's left or right quad. And, you know, he's a right-footed player. So with the quad, I know I've had one injury as such in my early days. And it's very difficult to it takes time to heal. Because you're shooting with that, using that muscle to shoot, to put force in your shot. And it could be, you know, he could injure it again if it's not 100%. But I think he's close to 100%. And I think we'll still see some minutes if he's going to be on the bench, which I have the suspicion that he will play. He will be on the bench, and he will probably come in for 20 minutes. The biggest guys, I must say this, because I was similar players as these three. We have one Canadian boy that's done really well. He's been the key. Richie Leria is a Toronto boy that Toronto FC picked up this year from Orlando, and he's been coming as a winger, right fullback, and he's been the turning point for TFC in many games. He's got speed, he's got skills, and he's got guts, the boy, and he does a lot of work. And to me, one of the MVP, unsung hero for TFC is Marky Delgado. He reminds me a bit like me as a player. He's a number eight, right midfielder. He does a lot of work. Marky's got amazing feet, and he's got he's an international with the U.S. team. And I think he's the unsung hero. I think he's come big with Osorio in the midfield, and obviously with the captain Bradley. I think that's probably our strength at midfield. And hopefully Delgado, hopefully he hasn't scored many goals, but hopefully he's had the chances. It could be his day, I think, today.
Kaidme, on the topic of scoring goals, really quickly, we've got to go to break, and we've got Eddie clear the track shack in the house today. Kaidme, prediction, final score.
Final score at TFC 2-1.
2-1.
Yes.
That's my score, too. Your score, Naz?
3-1, TFC.
TFC. So TFC's got to win. We got 3-0 on the predictions. Kaidme, you know how much we appreciate you joining us on Sunday mornings and sharing your soccer insights. Please enjoy the game, and we'll catch up soon.
And say hi to Eddie Shack for me, because when I came here, I started loving hockey, too, besides my passion, soccer, and he was one of my heroes at the time.
We certainly will, and he's got a big smile on his face.
And I always played golf at his golf course.
We all played golf at his golf course.
That's where I started.
We all started there. Humber Valley and Eddie Shacks and Don
right,
Valley.
Exactly.
That's where we all started.
Thank you, guys.
Listen, Kaidme, thanks so much. And
bye-bye.
Go TFC. Just before we go to break, just remind our listeners, in the house today, the entertainer himself, Eddie Shack. And also the book is Eddie Shack, Hockey's Most Entertaining Stories with Ken Reed. We're also in studio this morning. The publisher, the president of Frameworth Publishing, Inc., Brian Aaronworth. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville realised that some big pizza conglomerates want to make the cheapest pizza. Some want to be the fastest. At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone baked, the traditional Italian way.
It's what we strive for every day, to be the best, not the fastest or the cheapest. Oh, cue the announcer.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
Are you real ready? If you're a real estate agent, we can help you sell more homes. A business owner? We'll help show it off to the community at large. And if you're a homeowner, we'll supply accurate floor plans for every room in your home. Because selling property is all in the details. Real Tours Media, creators of 3D virtual tours, walkthrough video, HDR photography, logos, and brands. Check out the one-stop shop for successful real estate agents. RealToursMedia.ca.
With a little training, anyone can learn the security business while on duty at your home or company. It's unfortunate, but a lot of security companies are just not experienced enough to handle the complex dynamics of tactical security. And that little bit of training and experience can end up costing you a lot more than you bargained for. Peace of mind, trust, and honor is the foundation on which the Regal Security reputation is built. They're driven, they're respected, and they're unrivaled. They're everyday superheroes. Visit them online at regalsecurity.ca and find out how much they know, not how much they can learn.
To become a champion in business, it takes coaching, training, and bench strength. And every team needs a skilled player like KPMG Enterprise for private companies. KPMG Enterprise helps entrepreneurs and family businesses grow, strengthen, and transition by offering a full suite of services, including audit, accounting, tax, and advisory. Your business doesn't stand still. It evolves. Team up with a winner. Visit kpmg.ca/enterprise. Let's do this.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on the new AM 740. If you're listening in downtown Toronto, we're also on 96.7 FM. We also live video stream at www.zoomerradio.ca. Once again, in studio with us this morning, the entertainer himself, Eddie Shack, and publisher of the Eddie Shack new book. If you're watching on the internet, I'm just showing it right now. Eddie Shack.
Hockey's, I got a black eye there, too.
Hockey's most entertaining stories. It's with Ken Reed. We picked up a copy this week. It's a great book. It's really, really well done. If you're looking for a Christmas present for a special sports fan or hockey fan, Naz and I both highly recommend it. It's got some fantastic pictures in it. It's got some great stories, and who could not have the best stories in hockey other than the entertainer Eddie Shack? And of course, Eddie's in studio this morning with his cowboy hat. So once again, if you want to see him live, www.zoomerradio.ca. Mr. Edward Stephen Philip Shack, welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour.
Oh, it's great.
And
to
welcome
be here.
To Zoomer Radio.
Sunday morning, like getting up early. Well, I always did get up early for church. I'm Catholic, eh?
Well, thanks so much for joining us. And Brian, thanks so much for joining us. The book. Just want to talk about the book really briefly. Naz and I, we love the book. It's the pictures are outstanding. The quality of it is outstanding. The way it's put together, there's testimonials in it from Wayne Gretzky, from George Armstrong, from Phil Esposito, and there's others that can't mention them all. Perfect little vignettes from Eddie's wife, Norma. Ken Reed, work of passion, obviously, for him. It's a work of passion for you. Tell us where the book came from.
Well, you know, Eddie drops by our offices on a regular basis to stir the pot, and we call him Mr. HR Violation there. I can hear him coming down the hall, and I frequently have to check with the females in the office whether he's done anything to offend them, and they all love him, so they all got his back. But he was sitting in my office, and we were telling some of the many stories from the past, which is stuff that I love to hear and most hockey fans love to hear but never really get a chance. And I said, you know, we got to get that down in a book. And he says, I'd love to do a book. And so I phoned Ken Reed, a friend of mine who's published a number of books before. I said, Ken, would you be interested in doing a book about Eddie Shack? And he said, absolutely. So he says, when do you want to put it out? And I said, well, Christmas. He said, Christmas of 2020? I said, no, this year. He says, that was back in February. He said, I don't know. He says, I've never heard of a book getting done that fast. And we put this together and it's ready for sale right now.
And on that note, Eddie, I want to turn it over to you. And I've got a whole bunch of notes here. I probably need 5 shows to get through everything I want to get through with you. So we'll do the best we can. But the question I always like to ask, certainly from legends like yourself who've been around a long, long time, grew up in Sudbury, Ontario.
That's where they grow potatoes. The only way they get them out, they blast them.
82 years young you are. But I always like to ask, you're growing up, the dream of playing in the NHL. Do you remember when you first acquired that bug, when you thought, hey, I want to play in the NHL? Who inspired you? Who were your mentors? Who were your heroes?
Well, first of all, from Sudbury, working next door at a butcher place, very, very young, and enjoyed working. And I worked, and my dad said, you got to get out and play with the kids. And my dad got me a pair of skates, and then Timmy Horton lived right across the road. Brian Campbell lived on the other. He had the rink in his backyard, and they start skating. And then on the roads there at that time was no salt or anything, so you played on the roads, and somebody says there's a practice thing in Guelph, the Guelph Biltmores,
who are now the Kitchener Rangers.
Yeah. No. The Guelph Biltmores. That's what they were. Now they're Mad Hatters or something. I don't know the name now, but they said he brought maybe 4 or 5 kids up to practice, because that's when Andy Bathgate, Fontanato, and Dean Prentice, they were going to the NHL at that time. So there was room. So Junior B was $20 a week, $15 for room and board, and $5 to spend. And if you made Junior A, you got $60. And then I got a job at Hale's Meat Market. I was making $40.
You're a rich guy in those days, making that kind of money.
And then, like, you never thought about the NHL. You just thought about making a buck and having fun. And then I got I was playing Junior B, and then I went up to Junior A, and things start looking up there, and I start scoring goals, and then you say, well, you know, I think I can make that NHL, and that's what happens.
Any hockey heroes when you were growing up? I mean, in those days, it wasn't even on TV. You had to listen on the radio.
Yeah.
Foster Hewitt, and any particular hockey player that you really looked up to?
Not really. Like, hockey wasn't the thing. Hockey was work, and, like, you know what I mean? My dad worked for Inc., and then, like, myself, there was Timmy Horton across the road, you know what I mean? But there's no, like, when I came up, like, you know, like Gordie Howe and then Fontanato and all these guys, when I played, then I started knowing hockey a little bit better.
Eddie, you're 13 years old. How did you get a driver's license at 13 years old?
Well, at that time, Sudbury, I worked at Dominion Stores. I worked at the market. I was fairly big, and
do you actually have an actual Ontario driver's license in your pocket at the age of 13?
Yeah, that's right. And I was like 16.
But when you applied for the license, did they ask you your age?
I said 16.
Oh, I see. Okay,
because that's there was like $100 fine.
Yeah, I
got if
it.
You
I got
lied,
it. I mean, we used to. Caught. It's basically what we used to do when we were in high school. We were 15, and we used to go drinking in the bars, right? So you had a license at the age of 13,
and then I had a 38 Dodge, and then I worked for then
a 38 Dodge.
Yeah, and then worked for Dominion Stores.
Okay,
and working for Dominion Stores Wednesday afternoon, and then Chester Wilcox was my boss, so. The afternoon, then we go for cocktails after, like, Wednesday afternoon.
At 13. The world has changed.
And then the guy next to me, he had a 42 Dodge. And I said, my car is faster than your car. Oh, no, no. And then after a couple more drinks, we said, well, let's go out Highway 17 and see whose car is the fastest. So I went out there, and he beat me. So, and then there was a hot dog place on Highway 17. He turned left in there, and I looked in my mirror. There was a cop car. So I said to the guy next to me, it was Emil Lavar. I said to him, should I just keep going instead of going in there? Because the cop's going in there. You know, he says, go in there. But I should never listen to him. I should have just went a little farther and hid, and I wouldn't have had my I wouldn't have got my license suspended. I got my license suspended when I was 14.
But I hear you got it back. Out. I hear you got the license back, though.
Yeah, I got it back. I lost it for 6 months for racing and was speeding and that.
And then you get it back at 14. So he gets it at 13, loses it at 13 and a half, and gets it back at 14.
It's 16 to drive.
And then
only Eddie Shack could do that.
Yeah, but then when I played junior A hockey, I had my license and I worked for the coal company, Palmer Coal. And I drove the truck there and I made money there.
And talking about your career with the Guelph Biltmores, you went to Guelph at the age of 15. In your last, this is what sometimes gets lost, unfortunately, in your story, because, you know, you're the entertainer. We remember you with the Leafs, but you're a damn good junior player. In fact, when you graduated to you didn't come to the Leafs originally. You went to the New York Rangers. You were the best junior players in hockey, in Canada that year.
Yeah.
102 points, 47 goals. Went to the Memorial Cup Finals. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Brian, maybe you can correct me. The year that Eddie graduated from the OHL, he had more points than Frank Mahovlich.
Yeah, that's true. I think stats aren't my thing, but I do know from the book that he had more than Frank that year.
Yeah.
And we forget that you're a damn good hockey player. I wouldn't say we forget, but no, it gets overshadowed by your personality.
So our farm team, like, that was the Guelph Biltmores, and Guelph from Toronto is not too far, right?
It's an hour. Yep.
Okay, so I got all, like, what I, and New York Rangers are playing in Toronto, and you would think that they've got a young kid in Guelph that's done this, he's done that. You think that they would bring that young kid up and play at the Maple Leaf Gardens with New York Rangers. You think that they would, you know what I mean? And then that year, they sent me down to Providence, Rhode Island Reds, and then I broke my leg, and then I didn't have the confidence. Then I'm with New York, but they didn't hit it the proper way. That's what I thought.
You know, I guess you were in New York a couple of years, and you ended up getting traded to Toronto, but that almost never happened. You almost became a Detroit Red Wing.
Okay.
Tell us that story.
There was Bill Gadsby and I traded for Red Leonard Kelly.
To Detroit. That trade had been made, so you were supposed to go to Detroit.
Right. So now the deal is made now, and now I'm in the dressing room, and then I'm saying about New York. I know the deal has gone through because we're in Detroit at that time. So now we come back into New York, and I'm laughing because I'm going to Detroit with Gordie Howe. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, the deal falls through. Red Leonard Kelly does not want to go to New York. So the deal is canceled. Now I got to go back to New York. And then, you know, I definitely had a bad mouth sometimes. And I wasn't afraid to tell anybody to go and stick it in their crease. You know, and it was Phil Watson was the coach at that time. But thank God that Leonard didn't go to New York, because I wouldn't have been in Toronto. So I thank Leonard Kelly for doing what he did.
Yeah, we thank him too, because I can't even imagine 1960s Toronto Maple Leaf hockey without you, Eddie. You certainly left an indelible impression, Naz.
Red Kelly, you said he was the best player ever, even better than Bobby Orr. And Well, Wayne Gretzky.
Okay, Leonard Kelly, he played defense in Detroit.
I got to ask you, did you always, in your personal relationship with Mr. Kelly, what for you, was it Red or was it Leonard?
I always called him Leonard.
Were you one of the only ones that called him Leonard?
Not too many. Like, whether it's like his kids, like, there's probably one of them that calls him Leonard. But I really respect the guy, and I think that he was one of the greatest hockey players. He played defense. He was on four Stanley Cups in Detroit. When he left, he came to, it was that got him, and they weren't supposed to talk to him. Ballard's, who was it? Clancy. King Clancy, you know, and Clancy was not supposed to talk to Red at that time. And he was on the farm. He had the marijuana, or the, not the marijuana, but the grew tobacco there, right? Okay.
So big difference, Eddie, back in those days.
Yeah, same thing today, though.
Yeah. But you know what I meant, though.
Of course,
yeah,
absolutely.
I can get
we got it. Yeah.
But with Leonard being on the farm, Clancy talking to him, got him to Toronto. So from there on,
four
Stanley Cups with, but then he was a great individual too, like a gentleman and a scholar.
Talking about great individuals, you had the privilege of playing with an incredible group of men in the early 1960s in Toronto. It was certainly
Dion Armstrong and Duff.
It was a golden era. Yeah. Toronto Maple Leaf hockey, the golden era. We all came of age during that time period. Four Stanley Cups, three in a row. Tell us about the men you played with, and what kind of a group you were.
Well, it was like Carl Brewer, and then Bobby Bond. You know what I mean? There was Al Arbor. You know, and then there, like, we had Horton. Horton was the defenseman too. Everybody worked hard, like Keon Armstrong and Duff. You know what I mean? That Shaq and Harris and whoever wants to go with them. and then when I was there, if I wasn't playing, my dad would be at one end and yelling, "We want Shaq. We
want Shaq."
I said, "Jesus, Dad, Christ, you're embarrassing me." So what do? I go up on the other side. "We want Shaq. We
got while he's on the bench."
10,000 people yelling, "We want Shaq." Now,
I actually remember that.
Imlach looks at me and I said, "If they want you so bad, go up there and sit with them and shut up."
On that note, Eddie, I gotta ask you. You segued right into it. Punch was there throughout the '60s, and there's difference of opinions with respect to Punch. He's obviously a very successful coach, and I guess at the end of the day, that's what counts. Some people got along with Punch, some didn't. How'd you get along with Punch, and what'd you think of him?
I'm in Toronto. The coach is Punch Imlach. I worked hard, and I did what, you know what I mean? I felt that he knew what he was doing. He knew how to get the best out of you. And when he went to Buffalo, he got me. So him and I got along pretty good, but I was still Eddie Shaq, you know what I mean? And then I still, you know, like with George Armstrong and, you know, with Leonard Red Kelly and like Billy Harris, you know, you had so many great guys. And then with Johnny Bauer and I were good buddies, because at one time, nobody knew how old Johnny was.
Yeah,
like Johnny wanted to stay where he was. He didn't want to come to Toronto. And Punch got him to come, and coming here, that he was always a different age. Oh yeah, I'm 28. I'm 27. Oh, I forgot, I'm 20. You know what I mean? But this is why Johnny, and he loved it here, and he was a great individual, a guy that, you know what I mean. You gotta love him. You know what I mean?
Eddie Shore, How did you get along with him? You were in Springfield for a while.
Okay, how I got to Springfield, where I'm playing for New York, young kid, and we lost five games. We're in Montreal, and all of a sudden they said, we're going to have a meeting. Okay, let's have a meeting. I don't like
nothing will be held against you.
So, like they said, like the meetings, like nothing. You could say whatever you want. Like Andy Bathgate would say, "Look, we need to work a little bit harder." Fonato would say, "Maybe we're not eating the proper food because he's so cheap, right? He just ate eggs and he didn't have a steak. We always had a steak at that time." And then it'd go to Prentice, and then it would go to. So it comes to me now, right? And I said, Phil, everything you have said to me has gone one ear and out the other. Holy Jesus. That was the wrong thing to say.
Especially in those days.
Yeah. So now nothing is held against you. And they canceled the meeting right away. They didn't go to no one else, right? So I go in the hallway, and who's the trainer at that is Frank Pace. He was the trainer. And he's walking beside me, going down. I said, what are you walking beside me for Christ's sakes? I said, he said, I want to tell you something. You're going to Springfield. isn't that just lovely, eh? Yeah, nothing held against you. Now I'm going to Springfield, right? So now go to Springfield, Eddie Shore. Eddie Shore
had a reputation at the time.
Yeah. And Don Cherry was there too.
Yeah.
And then Eddie Shore, I liked him. You know what I mean? I scored goals, and I was getting ice time, and I was having fun. And then with Don Cherry, like he was just an average hockey player. You know, he wasn't way overboard or anything like that. He was just – and I played with him. But now they call me back 2 weeks because they could trade me again. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I said, no. I said, I'm not coming. I'm staying with Eddie Shore because at that time you made $4,500 and then you made $7,500. So minor leagues to the NHL, there wasn't that much difference anyways. And then that's when Bathgate and they asked me to come back to Toronto and then to New York. So then I got back to New York.
On that note, we've got to go to break. Just to remind our listeners, in the house today, Eddie the Entertainer Shaq. The new book is Eddie Shaq, Hockey's Most Entertaining Stories. It's with Ken Reed. We're also in the house today, the publisher, Brian Aaronworth. It's a great read. It's a great book.
And you can get it at... You know where you can get
Tell us where you can get it, Eddie.
Okay. At Bruno's, Avenue Road in the 401. And that's where I live, right there.
It's a great meat market if you happen to be in the neighborhood, but you could probably get it at framework.com a little easier or on Amazon. And they're now, it will be available in Indigo stores. And Eddie will be there on the weekend signing autographs.
Hi, Bruno. How are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a little bit of an inside joke. Anyways, we're not finished with Eddie. We're not finished. We're going to the end of the hour with Eddie. We're just going to go to break. We'll be back shortly.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared, we'll never be the fastest. We'll never be the cheapest. We'll never be the snazziest dressed.
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best. At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian, authentically Italian.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
To become a champion in business, it takes coaching, training, and bench strength. And every team needs a skilled player like KPMG Enterprise for private companies. KPMG Enterprise helps entrepreneurs and family businesses grow, strengthen, and transition by offering a full suite of services, including audit, accounting, tax, and advisory. Your business doesn't stand still. It evolves. Team up with a winner. Visit kpmg.ca/enterprise. Let's do this.
The security business is easy, right? Anyone can learn it. Perhaps they can learn it on duty with your valuables at stake. Perhaps they can learn it in a crisis situation that requires an immediate, intelligent response when lives are at risk. After all, what harm can a few mistakes make? Plenty. When it comes to security for your business or office, an experienced partner like Regal Security makes sense. Security is what they do. Peace of mind is what they provide. Visit them online at regalsecurity.ca and find out how much they know, not how much they can learn.
Are you real ready? If you're a real estate agent, we can help you sell more homes. A business owner? We'll help show it off to the community at large. And if you're a homeowner, we'll supply accurate floor plans for every room in your home. Because selling property is all in the details. Real Tours Media, creators of 3D virtual tours, walkthrough video, HDR photography, logos, and brands. Check out the one-stop shop for successful real estate agents. RealToursMedia.ca.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on the new AM 740. Downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. And also live video streaming. www.zoomerradio.ca. In the house today, the entertainer himself, Eddie Shack. The book is Eddie Shack.
.2323, right?
clear the track. Here he comes. Hockey's Most Entertaining Stories with Ken Reed. Also in the house today, the publisher, Brian Aaronworth. Brian, putting this book together, there's, as the title says, Hockey's Most Entertaining Stories. Tell us about let's drag Eddie into some of these stories. Tell us some of the great stories in the book.
For sure. I got to get you on track to tell these stories because part of the best part of the book, I think, are the stories that fans don't generally hear. It's all about stats and the teams they played for and all that stuff, which is interesting, especially for Eddie. But the stories that I just continue to laugh over, and I've heard them over and over again, they're funny every time. But we've got the story. Bobby Hull donated a story to the book, which was quite funny. And Eddie, tell the story about asking Bobby for one of his sticks.
We use the CCM sticks, and they use Sherwood, and the Sherwood stick was a much better stick.
In the day, and
Bobby would curl it like you're only as a rule and. Inch and a half of a curve, and Bobby's was just a little bit more. So I asked Bobby for, and Bobby, you got the stick for me. He said, "Here, Shacky, here." You know what I mean? So he gave me the stick, and I'm playing with it in Chicago. And if I don't score a goal right away, and I said, "Thanks, Bobby," thank you. But I had to go really. You know what I mean? If I don't get the hat trick, right? Getting the hat trick in Chicago. I went over to the bench, and I said to Bobby, "Bobby, thanks a lot." And I was fairly a little bit loud, and then the coach was, "What is this kind of, what, you know what I mean?" And then I just skated away.
But Bobby was like putting his head down. The coach said,
who gave like, him this weapon.
Give him a weapon that scores a hat trick against us.
Some of the funniest stories is you had a great relationship with the Richard brothers, Maurice and Henri, and so, you know,
the Jean Beliveau story, but tell us.
But why I had such a good relationship with Andre, because remember the third man in is okay. out of the game, and it was always Ferguson. Ferguson was pretty
He's
serious.
A tough guy.
Yeah, and a tough guy, right? And my nose didn't want to get hit with it, you know what I mean? So now, third man in is great. I'm saying hello, hallelujah, right? So now who do I pick on is Andre Richard. This is the littlest guy
on the rink, yeah.
So I got him right by the shoulders, and I can't get my hands for it. So I said, let's see if this little bugger can take this. Boom! I cocoa-bonked him. I got him above the eye and the language. Shit, the shit, the goddamn, you know, and they were yeah. heady and that. Now we're going into Montreal. So skating around Fergie. Fergie, grab your own partner. I know who I got, right? So now I'm going into the dressing room. Who's there but Maurice the Rocket Richard? Skating in to the bench. Into the dressing room, just about getting in. He says, Hetty. Morris says, hey, Hetty. My name's not Hetty, you know what I mean? I looked up at him, and I was smiling a bit. He says, thank God you never hit him with your nose, or you would have split my brother in two. But and then Henri and I, later on, we went into the pop shop
together. It was the pop shop, yeah.
I did Ontario. He did Quebec. Two and a half rivers.
Wow.
Ready, the commercials you did, the one with the garbage bag, and you end up kicking the bag and breaking it.
Well, that...
That wasn't in the script, was it?
No. That used to do my commercials as...
Rimstead.
Paul Rimstead.
The Rimmer.
The yeah. Rimmer, right? And he'd say, no second one. As soon as they...
It's a one-shot thing. No yeah. retakes.
So now... The commercial is done, and all of a sudden now I'm boom, 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 and then I kick it. I go, ah! And that's the one they took.
The bag breaks, and that was the funny. That made the whole commercial.
Yeah.
And you also had some interesting run-ins with Gordie Howe as well.
Yeah, Gordie. I knocked him out twice.
You knocked out Gordie Howe twice.
I knocked Stan Mikita once, and Reggie, I knocked him out. I no Lady Bing over here. But we... At one point, the NHL used to go to Vermont to play golf, and the NHL would be paying for it. And at that time, we were drinking Tuborg. Tuborg was the most yeah. expensive, and then whatever we could charge up to the NHL, we would. So now we're sitting down eating steak, and Gordy and I are talking and shooting the breeze back and forth. And we got pretty friendly there, and he sings, who's the greatest of them all? Gordie Howe. And I said, Gordie, listen to this. Clear the track. Here comes Shaq. He knocks him down and he gives him a... He said, that's what I want to talk to you about. You don't hit me and I won't hit you. I said, Gordie, shake on that one and I'm in.
You know what? I can't let this one go. Clear the track. Here comes Shaq. Iconic song. I can't remember if it was 65 or 66. I still got the 45 or the, yeah. was it 45s or 78s, whatever they were called in those days. I haven't got a machine that can
that
play them.
45, yeah.
Clear the chart. Number one on the
chum charts.
On the chum charts. Talk about bringing back the past. Where did that song come from? Where did the, where did that all come from?
Brian McFarlane, he wrote it, and it was number one for a month. Like, you know what I mean? And when you turn the radio on and you hear Clear the Track, and a guy that, you know what I mean, is illiterate to hear his song and number one and Nancy Sinatra and these boots. And I always like cowboy boots and I always like Nancy Sinatra, like a Frank, you know what I mean? And she beat me out. And I said, oh my God,
it was number one for 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
But you know what's even more amazing is that we talk about Nancy Sinatra beating him out, but the chum charts at that time, the Beach Boys were below him. The Kinks were below him. All these
we didn't
huge
care about
bands.
That.
No, he knows Nancy Sinatra, but those were much bigger names, and he's number one. That was amazing.
You were the entertainer. I got to ask you, Eddie, the whole
the whole at some point in time, were you in junior with the Rangers with the Leafs? When did you were you always the entertainer, or did that sort of you've evolved into that? It seems like that's just your personality.
I just love people. I love, you know, doing different things. I like and nothing embarrassed me, because, you know, when you can't read or write, and then like Bobby Bond used to brown me off. Is like I'd be skating by and he'd be yelling, "Hey, Shaq, C-A-T." I said, "Whoa, boomer, you know what I mean?" But like things like that, like I was opened with my education, and I wanted to, and I tell kids to go to, like, I went to school in New York, they sent me to school. I went to school in Guelph. In Sudbury, I went to school because I went to Catholic school, and they felt like maybe there was too much religious, and like, let's go to a public school where they could get through to me and then get me to read. You know what I mean? Then when I used to go to school, I used to put like the spelling words, right? I'd put the words under a paper, and then I'd put the paper there, and the teachers say, "Well, children," and children would be underneath it, right? Yeah, children. All right, that's good. Then she'd say, "School." Oh, school. But if she would mix it up, then I would be completely, I'd have a zero again.
Eddie,
that's pretty smart, though, eh?
You scored, you're one of the few, I think there's only two of you, scored 20 goals with five different teams. I think there's you, Dean Prentice. Dean Prentice, and maybe Bill Guerin.
I think Bill Guerin.
Not that many. But what I had forgotten... But you got traded from Toronto to Boston. Then you went to Boston and you joined the Big Bad Bruins just when they were – and you got to hang with Derek Sanderson.
I played with him.
And that must have been – there must have been some stories from that time period playing with those guys.
Well, and then Esposito and then
– and Orr and
– Orr and then – like – It was fun, you know what I mean? And then that's when you'd park your car down below and then somebody would steal it. That's what Boston was, you know what I mean? But I had a house there. Bobby Orr was great. He was a gentleman, and he still is, you know what I mean? Then when we get together now, he always gives me a hug. I said, "But no kissing, Bobby."
The Stan Mikita story. You were pummeling him one night in Chicago, and you got the responsibility of taking on everybody's tough guy, and man, that must have been a difficult chore. You had to take on Ferguson, you had to take on Reg Fleming, Fondette. Tell us the Stan Mikita story. You were giving it to him good one night.
Well, all of a sudden, Bert Olmsted and I, and then that. Somebody speared me, right? And then that's when Olmsted would come in, and then now the whole, would everybody be grabbing somebody, and nobody got Mikita, right? So I said, "I better grab that little," you know what I mean? So, so I got a hold of him, and I'm right beside the player's bench, and I'm just kicking the Jesus out of him. Everything goes, boom, I got him there. And then I hit him this way. And then all of a sudden he's going down, and then all the sticks are coming. They're throwing the sticks at me. And then that's when I knocked him out. And then what happened, like then the next year, he wins the
Lady Bing.
The Lady Bing. Isn't that nice?
Hey, you stopped him from. You turned the guy Bing player.
What did you say to the St. Louis guys when they were chasing you?
Well, the Plager brothers. Well, you know, here I am. Because I used to always like to get in with Bobby Clark or whatever it is, eh? And then, come on, you little, you know, let's get at it. You know what I mean? But the Plager now, they're coming after me, right? And then the other Plager comes after me. Now, I got nobody to help me out. So now I'm skating backwards, and I'm saying to the Plager, "I can skate faster backwards than you guys can skate forward, so I'm not really worried about you."
Yeah, they were chasing you all over the ice that game. I certainly remember that one. Anyways, the book is Eddie Shaq,
Hockey's Most Entertaining Stories with Ken Reed. If you're looking for a stocking stuffer, you're looking for something.
Turns it the other way.
Oh, we're going to put it that way.
Oh, yeah. That one there was number one for
sure. That was the number one photo of all time. You're a Buffalo Sabre, and you jumped on somebody's.
Jerry Eamon.
Jerry Eamon.
And they gave me a penalty for that. Can you imagine that? but that's how they picked on me. And then when I would get a penalty, right, they would be pointing at me, right, and I would duck, and I'd get into the bench. I'd hide into the bench, and they couldn't get me. So.
Anyways, Eddie, I apologize. To our listeners, we've unfortunately run out of time. We could do this for a lot longer. Eddie, you have no idea how much we appreciate you coming in today, and yourself, Brian. You've made Naz and I feel like 10-year-old kids again. The stories are incredible. To our listeners, please, it's a great read. It's a great book. It's really well put together.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. I've got 20 seconds left before they're going to cut us off the air. Tomorrow is a very important day. It's Remembrance Day. There are so many that we owe so much to, young women, men, older women, men who have sacrificed for our country. Please do whatever you can to honor them tomorrow. On this most sacred day. To all our listeners, have a fantastic week. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back again next Sunday morning. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.